Welcome to another edition of the Inside Scoop. My name is Neil Crawford. I'm your host and also the founder of Anytime Soccer Training. If you're not familiar with the Inside Scoop, it's a podcast dedicated to helping parents learn about the soccer pathways that would be available to their child if they lived in another city around the world. And this show is brought to you by Anytime Soccer Training. Anytime Soccer Training is the only training program with well over 5,000 training videos that covers all the major individual skill areas. So check out anytime-soccer.com to learn more about the program. And now let's get on to the show. So right now, as I speak, 12/28/2024, we're having a engaging and fun and debate and conversation about a particular matter in youth soccer, something that if you are familiar with youth soccer, you're very familiar with this subject. And I thought, you know, let me get into the podcast and invite people to be part of the discussion and then extend that open invitation to anyone who would like to jump on and provide some context. So what am I talking about? So in the Anytime Soccer Training Facebook group, and if you're not a member, please join. One of our more active members posted a comment that I'm going to read. I'm going to add my two cents, not a strong opinion, just things that I think about when I read this stuff. And then again, I want folks in the group to listen to it, in the network to listen to it. And I would love to get our coaches, club directors, club founders onto the show to help us dissect this thing and get their perspective. I have one founder and an executive director who will join the show in the future that's going to shed some light on what I'm talking about here. So with no further ado, here's the comment. So the average cost of ECNL of an ECNL team is $6,000. So I assume this is the case for MLS Next clubs, which is a crazy amount for most kids. I doubt the average kid can afford that. And so this is a recurring conversation we've had. I did a couple of podcasts on this where I said, hey, I understand both perspectives, but I do think it's a little bit more complicated than what is often said, especially when you compare it to the rest of the world. Maybe I'll share a few points on that. I'm not exactly sure where he got the $6,000 number from, but that doesn't strike me as unusual, for better or worse. So what I like to do in the Anytime Soccer Training Facebook group, and we have different ones for different personality. We have a coaching one. We have a guest player one. We have a podcasting group. We have a small business soccer services group. So people kind of get in where they fit in. We're about to launch a group focused specifically on those players who want to travel abroad. So I try to create groups that service our youth parents, youth soccer parents, and our players in certain ways and meet them where they're at. And so in this group, I love taking our members through a thought exercise. Some of them get it. Some of them don't. Some of them think it's me trying to do whatever, like, I don't know. And then others get it and they play along. And then some people, the majority just ignore it because it's social media. But anyways, I try to take them on a thought exercise that explores the logical conclusions or at least the illogical next steps of things that are often said in the youth soccer space, right? So an example would be if you came to me and said youth soccer in the States is too expensive for the average person to play. So this would be a statement, right? Then a logical question would be, okay, well, are the lower cost programs oversubscribed in your area? And the answer could be yes. That's one of the reasons why I'm making this statement. If the lower cost programs are not oversubscribed, then the question would have to be why? Why is that? So another one, and we explored this in a previous podcast. If you said to me, soccer and youth soccer participation in the States is more expensive, grossly more expensive than, say, in another country, then again, a logical question has to be, well, what are you getting for that money? And how does that compare to what you're receiving in terms of services, level services in that other country? So contact hours, is the coach paid? The facilities, is the cost basis the same? How many days are they training? What is the gaming program? How long is the season? Because if one program costs $2,000, another program costs $500, and then I find out that the $2,000 program's length of time, length of the program was four times more than the $500, then on an average basis, on a cost per hour basis, the costs are roughly the same. So we have to get alignment on that. So that's kind of the thought exercise that we try to do. So just to add some clarity, most people listening to this podcast will be familiar with ECNL, which is one of these top leagues. I should say, not even, it is a league, but top organization that organizes, that falls under the US Club Soccer Registration umbrella. And ECNL then has members across the country, and those members have leagues that are local and then regional, and typically in a sort of a regional league. They have their regional and national tournaments, and it's a very attractive place for colleges to quote unquote recruit. It is considered, again, one of the highest youth soccer platforms in the country. And then on the other side, its competitor, for lack of a better term, is the MLS Next program. And so MLS Next, you can think of them as a league that is comprised of those professional academies that are associated with those MLS professional teams. Okay. And then there are clubs that are granted, for lack of a better term, the licensing to also be a part of the MLS Next League. And they have their own MLS Next program, despite them not having a professional team. And one of the selling points for that would be they would have the opportunity to play against, if you're an MLS Next team, you would have the opportunity to play against MLS Pro Academy teams, which obviously would be a high level for your own individual development, and then potentially you being spotted. On the ECNL side, for those newer parents, and I'm just giving the very short version of, and I, in many cases, I only know the short version, you do have quote unquote academies or teams. And I'm defining an academy in this case as a team, as a youth team that is tied to a professional first team. So you do have academies that participate in ECNL. So North Carolina Football Club is a USL championship team, which is the second tier of soccer in the US. Well, they have an academy. So for example, my youngest son, who I talk about often, Matthew, is in what they call their pre-academy. And their pre-academy has, like, I think, four or five teams, and then they dwindle that down to two, and then they dwindle that down to one. Now, at least for North Carolina Football Club, and you guys can write in and let me know this, it's still pay to play. So I know many of our listeners are balking at the use of the term academy with the word pay to play, but I just want to make the distinction between between ECNL teams that have a pro first team, and then their ECNL clubs that do not have a pro first team. I don't know, and this is an open question I'll ask our future guests, if there are fully funded, quote unquote, ECNL academies. And to give you even more perspective on this, so that we understand where I'm coming from, in North Carolina, with North Carolina Football Soccer, with North Carolina Football Club, their ECNL Academy team is year round, where their ECNL, they have another ECNL team that, not the regional one, but they're another ECNL team that plays in the same national league that only plays movies in the, I guess you'd say, is that spring, the spring season. And then they play high school in the fall. That's for the boys. The girls is flipped. It's the same concept, but it's flipped. And the girls' academy is year round, and their girls' high school plays in the spring and not in the fall, that kind of thing. Something like that. So that's just to give you perspective. And so he is effectively saying, hey, it costs on average $6,000 to be part of one of those ECNL teams. And I don't even think he would be including travel in some respects. And it must be the same with MLS Next. And here's what I know, and here's what I don't know. So what I know for a fact is the majority of MLS academies are fully funded and free. And not only are they fully funded and free, and that includes everything, they actually can be pretty aggressive in trying to recruit you when they want you and make it life a lot easier for you. And they provide a lot of wraparound services for free as well. School, physio, medical treatment, anything you need, food, you live with people. So that I know firsthand that that's how most of them operate. I do know at one point not all of them were fully funded, but I don't, but it, but if there are any that are not fully funded now, it's going to be a small percentage of them, and you're not going to be paying an exorbitant amount of money, anything anywhere close to the $6,000 mark. So that's sort of what I that's my understanding. MLS Next programs, on the other hand, don't are typically not fully funded. And as a matter of fact, you end up paying borderline a premium because I think you do, because I don't know this, and I may talk to someone about it. But first of all, they have to pay more to be part of the MLS, to have the MLS franchise, if you want to will, if you will. And then they are giving you access to pro academies. So with that being said, you do pay a little bit more, and there's going to be a lot more travel expected as well. And for the most part, you have to foot the bill for a lot of that travel. So having said all of that, let's go through the thought exercise again. So the first thing I always say is, hey, you got to be careful with comparing, say, MLS Next program or an ECNL program as it's currently constructed. You got to be real careful with comparing that directly to programs around the world for a number of reasons. And I am going to offer some of my thoughts, but these are not hard and fast thoughts. And at this point, this is just teeing it up so that I can share this with some of our leaders and they can weigh in. The first thing is, we're often not comparing apples to apples. So in the UK, and I can speak comfortably about the UK, at least when I lived there, but it's been about 15 years. So folks can chime in now and tell me if I've missed something. If you went to the UK and said, hey, I have this program, you're going to train 4 days a week, you're going to get the coaches that have the same licenses as those in Arsenal, we're in the center of London, you're going to get the same coaches that have, you're even going to get coaches who used to work for Arsenal, who used to work for Chelsea, who used to work for Fulham, you're going to get them, okay? Like I said, you're going to train 4 days a week on it, and your times are set, and you got this exclusive fields that you're going to use. They're well manicured, whatever. That also comes with gym workouts and blah, blah, blah. And we're also going to film all your games, and it comes with that. We're also going to organize college showcases for you so you can be seen by colleges. And in addition to that, we're going to play Arsenal, Chelsea, Fulham. We're also going to play Millwall. We're going to play Tottenham. We're going to play Chelsea as well. And we're going to play those teams all the way up to U18, U19. And in addition to that, we have a working relationship with all those clubs. And if you're seen, you know, they can sign you. And they can sign you, and they don't even really have to pay us that much. So, well, they give us a little bit of money, but not really that much. There's no statutory reason. They don't have a statutory obligation to sign you in that way, because we don't really have those solidarity payments in that way. And you get the games on the weekend, and you have and it's a 10-month season, and there you go. And the only catch is it's going to cost you £6,000 a year. So what I'm trying to explain is, at least when I lived in London, not only did this not was this not the case, this was not something that would have even been part of a parent's. You would have a better chance of explaining to them that they can get a trip to Mars. It's just not something they would even think about, because in their minds, they would think, by the time my child is 10, 11, or 12, Arsenal, Chelsea, Fulham, they would already have seen him. They would have scouted him. They would have invited him or her at least to their Center of Excellence program. And they have these other little programs, and they would have scouted them. The PE teacher would have told them. They would have had coaches who started in grassroots coaching my child, who then went on to one of these academies. And that coach would have come back to my coach and came back to us and said, "Hey, Adam and Matthew, I like that kid. I'm now at Fulham. I want to get him on a trial and see what happens." This is not something. And then they would not even comprehend paying that kind of money for this type of service. It does not exist. They play grassroots soccer with a volunteer coach. When you get to the higher levels, you will get some support. You might pay a little bit more, but you'll get some coach support. And then the parent in general, and this is the part I don't want to be too specific because it's been so long since I'm gone, and I could be completely wrong. Folks can correct me. The parent will have played a little bit and done some courses. And by the time they get to that age, they would have coached so many years that they would be pretty good as well as a coach, because they would have done it for so many years. And you would train once, maybe twice a week, and that's kind of what it is. And then if you're really ambitious and you really want to be seen, you would try to get into one of these shadow teams if you could, if you're a scout, being one of these what they call Center of Excellence programs. And then there will also be some and then you'd also play for more than one grassroots team. And then they just recently launched this thing called JPL, where they kind of you pay a little bit and they kind of do that a little bit. So where you pay a little bit and they kind of do a little bit of what you do with a club, but it's still not in terms of order of magnitude, it's not the same. And then from what I understand with Spain and countries on the continent, continental European countries, it's similar, with the exception that it's a little bit more localized. And so you have these clubs, same thing in England in terms of these clubs being like hundreds of years old, but it's a little bit more localized, and they view it more as a club. So you might have a, an ex-professional who is trying to break into an academy, and this happens in England too, who might coach your kids for free, but they'll be young and not have that much coaching experience at first. And they may volunteer to coach because they want to get their license, they want to get those hours in so that they can break into academy. You'll have something like that. Without getting into all the details of where I made mistakes, because I'm not there and I'm constantly talking to people trying to get information on this, without getting caught up on any specific point that I messed up on, and you're more than happy to write in or join the show to clarify, is you just can't compare it. It's not an apples to apples comparison in that way. It's not that the UK is offering the equivalent of ECNL for, £100 a year. And I think that's part of the confusion. The next thing is, and then I'll end with this, because this again is just to get it out there in the into the space for people to chime in on. I happen to believe that another thing that we always have to consider when talking about the cost of soccer in the States is the parental expectations, or what I call demand side pressures, right? So I followed up with a question today, and I said, "Hey," or today or yesterday, No, it was yesterday. And I'm gonna read this question, and I'm gonna read the question I did today. So I said, hey, I'm familiar with a youth soccer club. I'm familiar with youth soccer clubs, excuse me, that charge over $2,000 per year while relying solely on volunteer coaches, true or false? And if that question sounds weird to you, if you're not a member of the Anytime Soccer Training Facebook group, every morning I'll do a different true false question. And the irony of them is none of these things are true or false. These are complex issues at best. And so the magic happens in the comments to see how people interpret a question and see what they say. But the whole irony is nothing is so clear cut. But if you believe that, but one of the accusations that's often made and the characterization is often given when we talk about the cost of sports in the US is that these are evil people who are greedy and this is a money grab. So they are overcharging parents and families at the expense of children who would ordinarily play at a high level, but because of these greedy operators, club directors, club owners, and coaches, private trainers, and whoever else is involved in youth soccer, me, people try to explain to me why. Maybe I'm being sensitive. Well, my $49 a year training app is, a money grab. So camps, anything you do in youth soccer that's not 100% volunteer, someone's going to call it a money grab to some degree, especially on social media. But anyways, if you believe that these evil actors are out there trying to exploit parents, players, families, in communities through youth soccer, in addition to them needing their heads examined, I would believe that some enterprising person would say, oh, wait a minute, I can go and get volunteers to coach and charge it, not even if the average cost of what they consider to be competitive is $6,000, I can charge less than half of that, right? And use volunteer coaches and make a pretty penny, right? So you're not, the argument is not, oh, I'm going to charge $6,000 and use volunteer. The argument is saying, hey, if I'm really smart, I can go out and get all these volunteers and I can charge half of what the top level leagues play, less than half what the top clubs charge, and I would make all of this money. And if that's not how people in generally do in general do it. If you're asking a nationwide, an unofficial nationwide poll, there should be some people saying, yeah, that's exactly what happens in our community. Pay $2,000 for a qualified coach, only to fling. But that does not seem to be the general consensus. This consensus is, and I'm going to read some of these, is I know the club I coach it. Is our coach at is for volunteers. The lowest price coach club in the Houston area. We compete with the top tier teams from ECNL, Frontier, State, Classic, and D1. It is $500 for the full year, August 1st to July 31st, plus the jerseys is $160. The older teams like mine has a college focus on helping the players. What our club does most of the bigger clubs don't do. Another comment, not that I've heard of, but supposedly there is a town travel team that charges $3,000, the same we pay for the Alphamet Soup League. Never mind, they own some of their own fields and play is cheaper, entry fee tournaments. What the heck are they paying so much money for? So that's a good comment. But it doesn't really answer the question, this particular question, which is I'm looking for volunteers, clubs that are charging a lot of money, not necessarily someone who is charging more than you perceive they're getting the value is if they're paying everyone. Many parents pay $700. I'm reading another one. Many parents pay $700 for the fall and winter. We play 20 games each season, EDP 10 games. But so again, Grant, not familiar with this, false for me, only know a part. situations that rely on volunteer coaches in Illinois, I think there are some volunteer park districts that have a little bit higher cost, but nowhere near 2,000. Okay. In Philadelphia, $600. So another person said $50 to $75 a season with the uniform has volunteer coaches and beats club teams. So the point I'm making is, I'm making a couple of points. Number one, if it was a true, if people in the youth soccer space were truly out to exploit folks in the way that it's implied often on social media, I would expect to see some people say, you know what? I can provide, I can give, I can create a club. I'm not going to pay any coaches. We're just going to use volunteer and get, I'm gonna give you guys to play on a quote unquote ECNL team. That does not seem to be happening. The second thing is, and I've said this, but I think part of the issue is a demand issue. It appears, at least in my area, that the parents do not want a club that offers a value proposition around less contact hours and volunteer coaches. Now, you can get into, oh, it's because they're awful, or all, oh, because they don't know what they're doing. All, that's fine. But I'm just saying, in the rest of the world, the expectation is a volunteer coach and lower costs. So just wanted to throw that out there. So then the final thing I said was, today I said something to the effect, well, despite many affordable competitive clubs with volunteer money, true or false? And I get one comment. And why is this important? This is important because when we throw out the red meat of how expensive youth soccer is, when celebrities come out and say, oh, I can't believe my child is paying X amount for soccer, you get 1,000 clicks. But when we have a rational conversation and say, hey, a measured conversation, and hey, say, hey, look, you know, fields cost, referees cost, insurance cost, league participation cost, coaches have cost. And that's what I can think of off the top of my head. It's just not, administration has a cost. There's just not a lot of fat on the bone. And so while it's frustrating that youth soccer and other youth sports are costing more or pricing average kids out, and we agree to that, the reality of the situation is the people on the ground don't appear to be trying to exploit us. So I often say I'm the unofficial president of the Consumer Protection Agency. So as the president of the Consumer Protection Agency, you would think that I would say, hey, you got to be careful because there are a lot of shady characters out there trying to take you from your take advantage of you. I actually don't think there are many shady characters out there trying to take advantage of you. And I'm sure many of you are laughing yourself off out of the room. There's a popular Instagram guy that comes on every day and talks about how everybody is corrupt and everybody's trying to take advantage of you and everybody is trying to get as much from you without trying to develop. I actually don't think people are like that. I think people just are doing the best they can. I do think we have some structural problems and we have some competency issues at times, but I think people's hearts are in the right way, in the right place. And so once we agree to that, then we have to ask ourselves, how are we really going to solve this problem if it's not that people are just evil? And some people will say, well, you go out and get sponsors. Yeah, but our club, for example, my younger son's club, it has 20,000 people. So God, the sponsorship required to defray the costs of a luxury item like youth soccer for 20,000 kids will be a lot. Now, those kids range the gamut from academy down to rec, but the bottom line is 20,000. I mean, I don't know how much sponsorship you can do. And then remember, you can get sponsorship, but I happen to believe that's a hard sell to say, we want you to sponsor 4 days a week of training, 3 days a week of training, and all of these fancy tournaments and leagues that, to me seem like a luxury, not a necessity. Where if you want to help someone sponsor a recreational program where you get 8 your 8 games and you get access to soccer, that's a little bit more compelling story for me. So it'd be hard, in my opinion, to get sponsorship at scale to finance what I perceive to be almost like a luxury soccer event, soccer experience. And oh, by the way, many of people paying for it can afford it. So you got that. So then I'll say in conclusion, I think the demand for this luxury soccer is what I'm calling it, is artificially inflating the price. I think there's a cultural expectation for a higher degree of soccer services that the rest of the world don't expect. And I think because of those two things and some other cultural factors, we have depleted our parks and rec and our sort of our local soccer. We depleted it from with resources and human capital, meaning the most motivated players and the most motivated parents who would volunteer their time from the parents' perspective, and the players who would elevate the level of play. So now that's depleted, where what happens is, and this is my opinion, parents have a lot of choices, but not a lot of, well, we, I don't know how you want to say it, but I say parents have a lot of options, but not a lot of real choices. So it's a lot of soccer out there, but there are not a lot of real choices, because the choices between recreational programs where, it's just purely for fun, not a lot of development happening, and then all the way on the other extreme where you get the training, you get the coaches, and you get all that stuff, but it's really expensive, and there's not really a good in between that's out there. And then the thing on that is U.S. soccer, and I do kind of shift some of the blame to them. They have not created a landscape where alternatives can thrive. So what do I mean? Well, because we don't have a transparent and simple pyramid structure, league structure, if you and I were to create a soccer team, it would be very difficult for us to compete against the local teams. And you need to be able to compete against the local teams in some respects to demonstrate to the parents what's happening, right? And it's almost like the local leagues are the distribution of your development program, right? So you develop kids in training, and then you showcase what you're doing in training on the stage, which would be in the league games. But because U.S. Soccer has not stepped in and said, "Look, we're going to have a transparent and readily accessible league structure," then these leagues are being weaponized to exclude potential founders out of them. So U.S. Soccer does have a role to play. But again, I keep going back to the same thing. Your coach, my coach, our coaches are not out there trying to make millions of dollars off our kids. And if they are, send them my way, because they need their heads examined. Even your club director is probably not in it to become rich. And anything they do get is probably well deserved, but we do have some structural issues that need to be addressed. The average cost of soccer in the States, I'm not going to go as far as saying the average cost of soccer in the States is too high, because I think a lot of this is luxury soccer, but we don't have a club neutral or way for pathway for players to be discovered. We don't have affordable options for kids who don't want to participate in luxury soccer but still want to be developed. And we don't have a transparent league structure, to say the least, and an accessible league structure. And the moment we stop pointing fingers at each other and looking at this stuff as from a more structural perspective, understanding that we are all in it together, I think we would be better served at finding a solution. All right, my name is Neil Crawford. I'm the founder of Anytime Soccer Training. Let's join in the discussion in the Anytime Soccer Training Facebook group, and let's get better together.